welcome Ward 7 and Chair of the Land Use Committee. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Land Use Committee. I'm going to take a moment to introduce my colleagues and then go over our agenda for the evening. To my immediate left is Councilor Deb Crosley, Councilor-at-Large from Ward 5. To my immediate right is Councilor Jake Auchincloss, Councilor-at-Large from Ward 2. And behind him is Councilor Greg Schwartz, Councilor-at-Large from Ward 6 and Vice Chair of the committee. I've got several staff members here, Alexandra Anand, Mike Fluda, Neil Cronin from the Planning Department, Rita Young from the Legal Department, Nadia Khan from the Clerk's Office. I know that a couple of my colleagues have indicated they're running late this evening, so we'll be joined, I hope, fairly soon by at least a couple other folks. So we have on our agenda this evening several items, three items which I trust will be relatively short, and then the one I suspect many of you are here for, which is the Newtonville Avenue Storage Center project, which I anticipate we're going to get to by around quarter of eight, between quarter of eight and 8 o'clock this evening. So the way it works in our Land Use Committee, for those of you who have not been here before, we have detailed memoranda that are provided to us in our packets on Friday evening. They're also posted online for any member of the public who wishes to read them. We get a memo summarizing the petition. We get a zoning memorandum indicating what the zoning relief is sought. We get maps. And those are for the smaller projects. For the larger projects, we also get additional information as well. We do our homework on this committee. You have the right to expect that we do our work, and I trust that my colleagues and I have read the materials we've been provided carefully. Many of us will take a site visit if we're not familiar with a particular area. We'll drive by or actually do a site visit. We did a site visit for two of the projects that are on this evening, a formal site visit. And so when you come up to present, I'd ask that you state your name, your address, and provide us, if it's a, particularly if it's a residential petition, with really just a brief description of what the project is and what relief you're seeking. I'd ask that nobody present for more than 15 minutes or so, but often, it's my experience that presenters can do it in far less time. Even a 2-3-4 minute presentation, frankly, can be quite effective. And again, if there's questions, you'll get them from the counselors. We'll hear from the planning department on each petition. I hope, but I'm not sure, we're going to actually vote on all four of the petitions before us this evening, but we'll see how the evening goes. So with that, we're going to start off with 94-16. It's a special permit to extend a nonconformance and increase the floor area ratio at 110 Upland Avenue. This is Michael Kim. This is in Ward 8. Mr. Kim, are you here this evening? Come on up, please, sir. Good evening. So just your name, your address, and go ahead.
Okay. My name is Michael Kim. I am a registered architect. My practice is at 1 Holden Street in Brookline. I'm here representing the owner of 110 Upland Ave, Stephen Tellio and Jody Babbitt. Mr. Tellio is here in the audience as well. The relief we're seeking is quite simple. The house itself, because of a floodplain condition, places the basement by the new definitions as a first floor. Therefore, the addition that we're adding to it exceeds the FAR and exceeds the number of stories. The memo is well stated, and there appears to be no opposition. Whether you look at it as converting it over to a basement or simply adding the extra square footage and the extra story. I will assure you that the basement in this case, even though defined as a basement, certainly meets the duct test. It looks, feels, and cracks like a basement. So it's really all
great.
I don't see any questions.
All right, thank you. Planning, who has this one? Neil, is this yours, Mr. Cronin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, the special permits before you to increase the nonconformity of a structure of 3.5 stories and to further increase the nonconforming FAR. The criteria to consider when reviewing the request, the site is an appropriate location for the expanded residence, and the proposed increase in the nonconformity of a structure and increase in nonconforming FAR is not substantially more detrimental than the existing nonconforming structure is to the neighborhood. This is just a quick aerial. You can see close to the intersection of Upland and Dedham Streets. The proposed site plan, the addition is enclosing a existing screen porch on the second floor, which would be the main floor, and enlarging a living room on that floor, and the addition would be a bedroom above that. Some elevations, I think they may have missed one. Nope. So this is from the left side, so this would be from the view of Dedham Streets. This would be the rear elevation. And the right elevation.
Great. Short and to the point. Thank you. We've been joined by Councillor at Large from Ward 1, Scott Lennon, President of the Council. Carl, is there any questions for the petitioner? Right, seeing none, is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Anyone at all? Do I have a motion to close the public hearing? Moved by Councillor Schwartz, all in favor of closing the public hearing. 5 in favor, none opposed. The public hearing is closed. Do I have a motion to approve? Councillor Schwartz, a motion to approve. Mr. Cronin, do you have a proposed board order for us? I know there's one in the packet.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Can you start with the findings, if you like?
Please. No need to read it out loud. Any questions on the first finding? Okay. How about the second one, Part A? Any questions on that? Okay. Seeing none, let's move on to the next one, please. If that's your only A, I think you want to fix your numbering. We'll go back to 2.
I'm sorry?
You have an A, but there's no B. There's no 2B.
Oh, I apologize.
That's okay. Just when we do a final order, we fix that up. That'd be great. Can we go on to the next page, please? Okay. Folks, any questions or comments on the findings for 3? Okay. They look good. Thank you, Conan. Any other findings?
That would be it, just the conditions standard all the way around.
Okay, great. Questions for anybody? We have a motion by Councillor Schwartz, all in favor of approval. 5 in favor.
Are you going to vote? I'm still abstaining at this time. Mr. Chairman, I didn't have the benefit of the presentation, so.
Fair enough. So 4 in favor, any opposed, 1 abstention. Thank you very much, sir. This is going to be taken up at the July 11th. Meeting of the full city council. There's no need for you to attend, and if you did, you're welcome, but you can't speak at that meeting. I anticipate it'll get voted out that evening. If you have any questions at all, please contact either Mr. Cronin or committee clerk, Ms. Kahn.
Very good. Thank
good.
You.
Good. Thank you, sir. All right. Next is 195-16. There's a special permit to increase the floor area ratio at 41 Chesley Road. This is Michael McKay. 41 Chesley Road is in Ward 6. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Michael McKay with offices in 35 Bryant Street in Dedham. Tonight I'm representing the owners of the property, Steve Vittori and Brian Humphreys. They've recently purchased the property. It's a beautiful mansard structure that has had several additions put on in the rear over the years. Our proposal is to take the additions that we think were inappropriate additions, take those down and add, right now it's two flat units. There's a first floor unit, and then there is a second floor above it, so it's a traditional two-family. Our proposal is to turn it into two townhouses. The front structure would be a unit on its own. We would have a driveway on the left side, which currently is a driveway on that side. We would have parking, two-car attached garage to the existing structure, and then a one-car attached structure to the new addition in the rear. The increase in FAR, the majority of it is with the garages, approximately 700 square feet of garage space is proposed. Again, our proposal is to historically renovate the existing structure. We've made agreements to keep the detailing as much as possible. It's not a strip and gut. It's it would restore, and that's a simple proposal.
Are you the architect?
I'm sorry, I'm the architect for the
project. Okay. All right. Why don't we hear from planning, then I'll take comments from my colleagues, and we'll open it up for public comment. Mr. Cornyn, is this yours as well?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So there is a request to extend the non-conforming two-family dwelling and exceed the FAR. Criteria to consider. Do you like me to read it out loud? Or?
You know, I think we can all read it. I take it we have a substantially, not substantially more detrimental standard, and it's an increase in FAR.
Correct. All right. This is the aerial. As you can see, it is close to the commercial district of Newton Center. And this is, I think, the best way to read the site plan. So as you can see, Chester Road there is on the right, and the addition is building back towards the rear of the property line.
And the driveway is in the lower part of that picture?
Correct.
Okay.
This is the proposed site plan. See the units are built to the rear of the structure. The existing driveway is going to be enlarged. In the middle there is the two-car garage, the second unit, and then the one-car garage at the bottom of the slide. This is the front elevation. Pretty much unchanged as to what is there now. And this is the left side elevation, so this would be the view if your back is to the fence of the parking lot that is next door.
Could you stop there for a second? Where does the property, the building, end now and not visual if I had to look at it?
It ends roughly where the end of the garage is, I think. The additions would be taken back, and then where those additions were built, that's where the two-car garage would be.
I'm sorry, so where the two-car garage is now is would be where the current building is and everything else is added?
Correct.
Okay. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
This is the right side elevation. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Colleagues, do you have any questions for planning? Go ahead, Councillor Crosley.
It's a comment / question. There's no engineering review, and it says here there's no engineering review required, but this is a large expansion of the footprint of the building on the site. So normally there would be a requirement for a stormwater management system, and at least that would be stated, and that it would require final review by the engineering department. And they have a standard form that they normally include in our packet, so I just would like the planning department to comment on that.
This project will be reviewed by the engineering department prior to the issuance of the building permit. I apologize, that might, that's most likely a typo. The form is familiar with. I'm not sure. I may have misplaced it in the packet, but the engineering department will review it in terms of runoff and with the addition of the paving as well.
Follow up? So, did the petitioner submit an intention We usually get a site plan with location of filtration units, something just to show intent, even if they haven't completed all of the requirements of the department by this time. And I guess the follow-up question is, the petitioner aware that they need to design this?
Well, while we hear from the petitioner, have you submitted something, sir?
Have not submitted, but we fully expect that this project would require stormwater management. So we plan on having an engineered plan prepared. We just have not done that yet.
You're aware of the city requirements?
Yes, very much so.
Okay. Anything else right now, Councilor Clausen?
Others?
Councilor Auchincloss?
Question for the petitioner. So, you're going to remove some trees as part of the scope of the project?
Yes, we've agreed to prepare a landscape plan that would be submitted to the planning office prior to permit. We've also agreed to, one thing I forgot to mention, the owners of the property have met with the neighbors several times, and there was an agreement made to remove some hedges along the right side of the property. And we've also actually, this view, we're reducing the size of the windows in the back of the addition. I know this isn't answering your question on trees, but I'll get to that. We would make the windows smaller on the second floor. Those would be awning windows to reduce the visual connection to the abutting property. In addition, plant a dense row of arborvitaes on the right side, but we will be preparing a landscape plan. There are some trees that need to be removed, and we're aware of the tree ordinance also.
How many trees?
As without saying as few as possible, we're trying to minimize the impact. We want to keep the pretty dense landscape, especially along the rear of the property, but we expect a dozen trees or so.
For one, I'm not comfortable with no engineering and no landscape plan. I don't personally expect final landscape plans necessarily submitted to us, but those are two not insignificant concerns that I think we at least should have some review over before we just vote out a petition. So I'm just putting that out there. Other colleagues, questions? Councilor Schwartz? I'm sorry, Councilor Schwartz, are you done? Okay. Councilor Schwartz?
Just wondering if the petitioner is aware of the neighboring property on Beacon. Is that currently also under construction?
Yes.
And there's been a lot of removal of trees there as well. Is that not the case?
I actually am not aware of what they've done at that property. I just know they tore the house down. They waited the year out and tore that house down.
And in your discussions with the neighbors, what kind of responses did you get about the tree removal?
I think the major concern was providing the row of arborvitaes along that sideline. I think that was the major concern. That was the only concern that I'm aware of.
Staying along the right side of the, but not on the left, because that neighbor is?
It's a commercial property. It's the back of a commercial property.
Okay. And then as far as what's there now, in addition to the trees, what else is in that back area that you'd be putting a second unit?
It's just open.
Open space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One last one. So I see that there's living area above the two-car garage as part of the first unit?
Correct.
Thanks for now.
Why don't you grab a seat, sir? Are there members of the public who wish to be heard on this petition? Just a show of hands. All right. Woman over there, please, and then gentleman over there. Come on up, please. When you give public comment, if you just state your name and address for the record, I ask you to keep your remarks to 3 minutes. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. My name is Lindsay Berkowitz. My address is 206 Sumner Street, and I'm one of the trustees of the condo building that is directly abutting this property in question tonight. Some of our concerns certainly are the removal of trees. We do have some privacy concerns there. Also, with the addition, their property is going to be much closer to our property line. So we have some concerns about privacy, but also with noise with the addition of the additional garage as well as the driveway. We unfortunately did not have the chance to comment about the tree removal as of butters. We would have loved that opportunity to have that discussion before the meeting tonight. We are a seven unit condo building, again, a direct abutters in the backyard.
Before you step down, ma'am, have you actually sat down and talked to the petitioners?
I have not. Nope, and I'm one of the trustees, so we would have been notified. I would have been notified.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Sir, come on up, please. Good evening.
Hi, I'm Caleb Tower. I'm at 37 Tesley Road, the direct neighbor next door to 41. I've met with the owners a couple of times. They came around even before they bought the property to explore the options and discuss them with all the neighbors that were available. My neighbors across the street agree that this plan is a good plan for this property. We've taken a look at it. They've addressed a number of concerns we have. The trees on the property line that abut the parking lot on the commercial side of the property are all basically Norway maple weed trees that have grown up over the years between the two properties. The trees on the back of the property that the abutter mentioned just now, I think the architect mentioned, probably will not be touched. They're larger, longer-term trees, and there's no need to take them down given the plans that the developers have. They've agreed to address some of our concerns about privacy and the extent of the new building, and they seem to have an earnest interest in making sure that this project goes forward in a reasonable manner for the neighborhood.
Thank you, sir.
Any questions?
No, just grab a seat. Thank you very much, sir. Is there any other member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition this time? Seeing none, Councilor Schwartz.
So that reminded me, there's a comment about the setbacks and how close the property line is becoming. I was looking at the zoning memo, and I don't see that revealed here. It says that the front setback is not changing, side setback is not changing, and the rear setback, which is listed as greater than 15 feet, is going to be 30 feet. So, Neil, is that greater than 15, greater than 30? Is that why we're seeing it closer to the...
Yes.
Because we're also seeing a drop in lot coverage.
Councilor Crosley, I think, may have some answers for us.
If we look at the site plan,
yeah,
the change in rear setback is obvious. I found the language confusing also, but the current setback is 87 feet.
87?
The proposed setback is 47 feet plus or minus, 46 feet plus or minus.
You're saying a change of 40 feet.
Well, this says 30.16, so which is it?
I'm looking at the certified plot plan, and there's an old setback line. It's right on the front page of the document.
Yeah, it's 46, yeah.
It says 46 is the proposed new rear yard setback, and you can see the number right next to it, 87.4, to the original structure, which is a dotted line.
But that's not what's in our zoning memo.
It doesn't appear to be what's in our zoning memo. I found the language in that confusing as well.
Our zoning memo says 30.16 feet.
So that's one question I had for the, as far as the numbers. And then my second question was on the open space. So we're going from NA, 63%. I was just wondering what the NA would be. It's obviously more than 63% as far as open space, because we're covering more of the lot. I don't know if we could get that number. Is it 80%? Or is it 90%?
I think the architect, if I may, Mr. Chairman, the
The existing open space is 5,408 square feet, and the proposed would be, which is 50%. The proposed would be 4,000 square feet, which is 37%.
That can't be right, because the required open space is 50%, if I'm reading the memo right. Let me suggest this. I don't know how my colleagues feel. I think we have a number of questions on this petition that I'd like to see, personally, I'd like to see answered before we take a vote on this. I don't know how others feel. Councilor Crosby?
I would agree, and I would have a specific suggestion.
Please.
I know it's a bunch more work, but normally given the tree ordinance, either the tree warden would survey the site and identify trees that are weed trees or decayed or diseased that you may take down with no penalty, versus those which you would mark as in the footprint of your building or near enough to it that they would be sacrificed, and come up with a number, because you would be paying into the tree fund, and or you would have your surveyor actually show the trees that you're, that exist and that you're intending to take down, and then we could agree with you to either condition the plan, or you would show us a tree line that you would be saving to, and that would become part of the special permit requirement. I also think we need a landscape plan at least approved by the planning department before permits are issued.
Yeah. I'd like to see at least a preliminary landscape plan before we vote on the in committee. I don't need to see every flower you're going to put in, but I do think we have to have a sense as a committee of what the plan's going to look like. I don't have a sense from the materials that have been given to us. I'd like to make sure that we get some clarification from this, on the zoning issues. In the zoning memo, the numbers just seem off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also the engineering issue that Councilor Crosby raised earlier, we'd like to have the materials for that when we take this up again. Are there other items that the committee wants to get before we go ahead, Councilor Schwartz?
Mr. Chairman, I would just also like to offer to the petitioner, as Ward 6, one of the counselors, to enable you, if you want, to facilitate a more wide-ranging neighborhood meeting, if you feel that some of the abutters or residents of the units that was just represented, if you want to try to get people together, either any of the three of us in Ward 6 would be happy to work with you.
And I'm gonna make a friendly suggestion to urge the petitioner to have those conversations before you come back here, whether you do it under the auspices of the Ward 6 counselors or not. But the conversations are often very helpful, I think. Councilor Crosby?
One more question. As I'm looking at the site plan, perhaps there's an existing paved drive to the right of the house as well. My expectation would be that if you're developing this new or increasing the size of an existing drive on the left and to accommodate the second unit, that you might be eliminating the other paved drive.
Yeah.
Okay, so you might want to call that out, and then we could get an accurate open space calculation.
For what it's worth, I mean, I'll share with you that as I looked at this, struggled a little bit. I understand the desire to have two townhouse-style units. I understand that you're going to be putting in significant improvements in a property that could probably use some improvement. It is a different look and feel when you have two side-by-side townhouses as opposed to a more traditional one entrance up and down two-family. I'm just putting that out there as an observation. Nothing more. Okay. Question for my colleagues. What I'd like to do is I'd like to keep the public hearing open. I'd like to keep this matter open. We are meeting again July 26th, is that correct? And what I would do is put you on the docket for that evening. We have several other petitions, but we should be able I hope if we get, if you're able to have your meetings and get the information to us, then we should be in a position to vote on this. If we vote on this that evening, it will be taken up by the full city council, I think it's August 11th, 8th, 8th. Thank you, August 8th. Okay? All right, anything else, folks? So we're gonna hold. Do I need a motion to hold or not? Can I have a motion? Moved by Councilor Schwartz to hold. All in favor of holding the item? 5 in favor, none opposed. All right, we'll take you up on the 26th. Please reach out and talk to Mr. Cronin, talk to the neighbors. Want to make sure that everything's in order when you come back to us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, our next item, 219-16, 21 Orient Ave, has been postponed to July 12th. The next item is 126-16, special permit petition for 17 Malvern Terrace. Charles Kosterboom is petition to modify an existing non-conforming two-family to raise the existing buildings, move them closer to the street and away from the floodplain. 17 Malvern Terrace, Ward 4, Auburndale. I'm going to note for the record that Councilor Harney and I, a couple of weeks ago, took a site visit out to the site. We met with Mr. Kosterboom, his wife. I believe the architect, Mr. Morris, was also present. They walked us around the site. It enabled at least me, who had not been there before, to understand visually what it looked like. We did not discuss or debate the merits of the petition other than to ask factually based questions about what it would look like, where the building would be, what the floodplain lines were like, how it would be raised up, and things of a more topographical nature that we typically talk about in our site visits. So with that, Mr. Morris, do you want to tee it up for us, please?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Terry Morris. I'm an attorney with offices at 57 Elm Road in Newtonville. I'm here representing Mr. Charles Kosterboom and his spouse, owners of 17 Malvern Terrace. I will address the three items that are contained in the planning department's memo prepared in advance of this meeting. The first was an issue that came up about the proposed driveway service, whether or not they should be pervious or impervious pavers. And I'm pleased to report, as noted in the committee's report, that there was an agreement between conservation and engineering staff that pervious pavers with country drainage would satisfy both departments in terms of their objectives. If there's 2 feet or more separation to seasonal high groundwater. As evidence of the fact that there's at least 3.5 feet of seasonal groundwater, I would point your attention to the engineered site plan, which establishes the top of the wall along the water's edge at 40.6 and the proposed driveway elevation at 44. So I think we would have no problem meeting that standard. Second question was regarding a street tree that was located at the entrance of the driveway, which had to be removed. My client had reported, and I think the staff has confirmed, that the tree had been identified by the city, the tree warden, and tagged for removal. And I'm told that since that time, since our site visit, the city has indeed removed it. The last concern was the condition in the board order that talks about the screening along the northern boundary of the driveway shared with 9 Malvern Terrace. I think those of us who were at the site visit saw that the two things. The first is that the existing privet hedge sits on top of the wall and is therefore the property of the next door neighbors. That there is, as a practical matter, there is not a sufficient planting bed there to accommodate a year-round vegetative screen. We would suggest, therefore, that the word vegetated be removed from that condition and that some sort of screening be allowed, a 4-foot fence or something of that nature, if need be. The only other alternative would be to narrow the driveway down from 10 to 12 feet, from 12 to 10 feet to create a greater possibility for planting beds. So those are the three issues, Mr. Chairman. If there are any questions of the committee, I'm prepared to respond.
Thank you, Attorney Morris. We've been joined by Councilor at Large Susan Albright, Councilor at Large from Ward 2, and Ward Councilor Jay Harney, Ward Councilor from Ward 4, all councilors present and members of the committee. Let me just know for the record there was. Oh, I'm sorry. Councilor Albright is no longer a member of the committee. How can I forget? I apologize. She was a member of the committee for many years, so it's a familiar face. My fault. Thank you, Mr. President, for reminding me my forgetfulness. Just one other item to note. There was a question opposed to the legal department regarding the effect of having a special permit currently. Ms. Young opined for us that that means that we can grant a new permit for a two-family, but are not required to do so. Ms. Young, could I summarize that accurately? All right. So with that said, planning, is there anything else, Mr. Glue, that you need to add at this point?
No, I don't believe so. I think those issues that we brought up in the morning.
Okay, thank you. Questions by my colleagues? Yes, Councillor Crosley.
I don't have any serious concerns with the petition at this point. I do have a question. You mentioned you might be able to narrow the driveway to 10 feet to create a larger planting bed. Could you give me a dimension of what exists now?
6 inches.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to get much of a bed there if we narrow it.
2 foot 6 inches is not...
Councilor Hardy, did you have a question?
I think everybody received an email that we got, and Attorney Mark did as well. I forwarded it to him. With regard, and if he talked about this, I'm sorry, I had to work late tonight. It has to do with the parking situation by the garage, and whether and how is that. And those of us who went to the site saw that there's a sidewalk and then there's a garage, and I think one of the neighbors was concerned that had questions about whether or not that becomes part of the site plan, or, you know, a couple of questions.
Well, the garage is an existing structure, and I think it's not going to be changed. Is that right, Attorney Morris?
Yes, if I could respond to Councilor Haney. I did, he did forward that email to me for response, as would anyone else, and I did in fact send a response later this afternoon clarifying that situation. And essentially the clarification is that, I believe the chair asked, my client at the site visit, observing that there was a car parked in that fashion, and the response was quite simple. Obviously we know that this house does not have a lot of storage capacity for anything other than water, and, so this petition is expected to remedy the situation. Right now, they have to use that garage for storage more often than not because there is no storage in the house. The other half of that question that was posed by the neighbor was a question about, I think she may have misread the plan. She kept referring to it as a parking pad. But I think if you look at the site plan, it's identified as existing concrete driveway and nothing more. And so it simply provides access to the garage, which we expect would be fully utilized for the purpose for which it was intended when it was first built.
Councilor Harney, is that sufficient, or do you have more?
I guess so. It's a weird situation. So the sidewalk is actually part of the driveway then?
Yes. It's like in many other where the apron, where you have an apron that crosses the sidewalk. And there's just not much driveway after the apron.
Is that how the planning department looks at that, as a driveway?
Yes, because it's different times for the parking, the required parking. So it's simply a driveway from the sidewalk to from the garage. And the reason is about, one reason because it's on the curve of the cul-de-sac, and one reason from about 5 feet to about 10 feet in depth. So this is not kind of as parking.
Is that Councillor Funny? All right. Mr. Morris, why don't you grab a seat? I'm going to see, is there any member of the public wish to be heard on this petition? Seeing none, can I have a motion to close the public hearing? So moved by Councillor Harney. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 6 in favor and none opposed. The public hearing is closed. Excuse me. Is there a motion to approve the petition? Councillor Harney has made a motion to approve the petition. Mr. Gruber, do you have a proposed order for us?
So the order remains unchanged from the version that was received at the last meeting. I said we didn't need to make a change about the screening, but let's just go through the findings first.
Why don't I just take us through the findings here? Any questions on the first finding, folks? Number two. The third finding, which deals with runoff and the Conservation Commission review. Four and five, any questions on this? Okay. Any other findings, Mr. Kaliba?
Let me double check.
No. Okay. In conditions, there's a final landscape plan for review. I think you heard the commentary by Attorney Morris regarding the year-round vegetative screening. Do you have thoughts on that?
Well, I think we can just strike that language in the final landscape plan to show fencing or something else that is amenable to the applicant and or the owner.
You know, I'm just going to put out a comment from my colleagues. I'm not sure we want to require a fence here unless the neighbors and the petitioner think it's a good idea. I don't know what folks think about that. 4-foot fence is not... I observed the vegetation. There clearly is vegetation there. It's not the petitioner's, but to stick a fence in there doesn't seem to me to make a lot of sense unless there's some real need for it from a privacy point of view. Colleagues, questions? All right. What do you suggest we put in here? Should we just have submit a final landscape plan for review and approval without requiring the fence or the vegetative screening? Councilor Schwartz?
Sorry if I missed the comment by the petitioner's attorney. What's the problem with vegetative is that some people might want a fence instead.
There's 6 inches between the driveway and the vegetation. The vegetation is actually on the abutter's property. There is a fair amount of vegetation there, but in fact somewhat a little bit overgrown. But it's not there, so they don't have any control over it. My concern about putting a fence right next to a driveway like that doesn't make a lot of sense to me unless there's some compelling need to create that kind of visual border.
So I guess my question is, the purpose of that condition was to make sure that the new siting of the new building doesn't in some way harm the neighbor. So I would think that we could come up with some language that reflects that desire, and whether it's vegetative border, whether it's fence, or whether it's just a more general comment. But if we want that condition, if we think that's important.
Carly?
So I don't know that we've come up with a standard that defines for us how the view of a building harms a neighbor.
But we have screening for parking that's required.
We do sometimes, but there's a wall that exists with vegetation above it that belongs to the adjacent neighbor, so they actually own the screening. As I understand it, you'd have to put a fence on the property of 17 Malvern Terrace up against a retaining wall with vegetation over it. Doesn't seem like a very reasonable construction. So, and that there's no space between the retaining wall, the low retaining wall, and the driveway proposed to have any kind of reasonable planting. You could put a fence there, but to have a fence next to a wall with a hedge, and I agree with the chairman, I don't think it's a reasonable thing to require, particularly if the neighbor and the petitioner haven't agreed to such a thing, or maybe don't even want such a thing.
So if requested by the neighbor?
I think the neighbor's not opposed to this petition, is my understanding.
By a future neighbor. I mean, you know, I just think that...
I was hesitant to make them put something up 5 years from now because some future neighbor comes in and says, I want you to build a fence.
But the driveway is 6 inches off the line.
Not uncommon, and I can tell you, not uncommon in smaller lots where the, you know, the driveway may be literally abutting the neighbor's property.
I'm open,
Councilor Schwartz, if you have some suggestions here that we can put language in there that's something that, that's workable, I'm fine with it. I personally don't want to create something that's not workable or impose a condition that gets exercised 5 or 10 years from now.
Could we ask planning, Mr. Gleba, so that you put in that condition initially, can you explain what the initial concern was and why?
Well, we put it into the region of the grave, and I would generally like to protect the neighbors and screen them from parking, especially the cyclists to line. So that's where we put it in. That said, different situations mean different conditions, and given that there isn't any such issues, you know, it may be a little awkward to have a fence next to the public house. So, you know, so I can see not requiring the screening as a condition, but leaving the final landscape plan to be submitted to plans for review, which we can take into consideration these different issues.
Is that okay with you, Councilor Schwartz?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, with that caveat, folks, are we ready to vote this? All right. I'll just add, for what it's worth, I want to thank the petitioners for having us out for a site visit. I had not been to the property before, and for the members of the public, it was an example for me as to why a site visit often is extremely useful, because you really get to see the condition of the property on the ground, understand better the topography, why certain things are being done. I found it very helpful for what it's worth. So with that said, we have a motion. Yes, I'm sorry, Councilor Harney.
Briefly, I want to thank the chairman for coming to the site visit as well. And I just want to briefly comment that this was a situation where I understand the neighbors across the street, some of these objections that they have, but I think that this was a very difficult situation. This family's owned this property for a long, long time. It's been a two-family home for 70 years and used by a multi-generational family. And so I don't have an objection to continue to be used as a two-family home. And many of the people out in the neighborhood, Islington neighborhood, sent us emails, as you know, and everybody that lives out there understands that there are some issues, and some people have the flooding issues, and this is something that has to be done to this house. You know, a single family home, I believe, could have been bigger than what's being proposed with smaller setbacks. So it's a situation where I think the petition has tried hard to address the concerns of the neighborhood, and there was a house, one of the neighbors across the street, the house was rebuilt years ago, was a ranch, and I believe because of some of the flooding issues had to be built kind of tall as well, and this is actually going to be shorter, I believe, than the house directly across the street. So I think the petitioner has made a real effort to try to come up with a way that the family can keep this house, and I also went inside the house, in the site visit, and walked around the house and saw some of the damage that has been caused over the years by the flooding. So I think this is a situation where, sure, some people would like to have seen a single family, but I think this is a very reasonable alternative, and I'm hoping that it can be built and the petitioner, the family, can continue to live there and maintain it and enjoy the wonderful area that it is. So you know, I think it's a good alternative, and so I am supporting it.
Okay. Thank you, Councilor Harney. So we have a motion by Councilor Harney in favor of the petition. All in favor? I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in favor. None opposed. Thank you very much, Attorney Morris. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 abstention. 5 in favor. None opposed. 1 abstention.
Thank you very much. You know the protocol, Attorney Morris. Okay. Next, what I suspect everybody else is here for this evening, which is item 48-16. This is a special permit petition for 255-257 Newtonville Avenue. This is a Storage Development Partners LLC, the Norcross Trust, Ward 2. And I know I had a number of individuals who didn't get to speak last time because it was 10 o'clock in our adjournment hour, and I want to make sure that anyone who didn't get to speak last time but wants to speak right now as opposed to a little later this evening gets to do so. Ms. Driver, come on up.
Good evening. Thank you for accommodating me and my little boy who has to get home to bed. I'm Kathleen Feld-Grazer, 258 Mill Street in Newtonville. And I'd like to say that I think that this project is a classic example of the product of a flawed process. Applicants for special permits talk to attorneys in the mayor's planning department, but neighbors and the public often don't find out about a proposal until the public hearing, if then. Engagement with neighbors and the public should come at the start and be robust, aimed at win-win outcomes rather than unnecessary conflict, acrimony, and legal fees. I ask that you deny a special permit for docket number 4816, the proposal for 255 to 257 Newtonville Avenue, because the proposed project does not meet the criteria for a special permit, as people detailed last time. This proposal presents nothing but negatives. The size is the biggest problem. The developer's asking for a 33% increase over FAR. That's a huge request. Greater size means more units, means more traffic on narrow, dangerous roads adjacent to a playground and an elementary school. The developer and his attorney say this is the best outcome for the neighborhood. They say there'll be little traffic and only local residential users. But the truth is that according to their own data, 30% of the units will be rented to commercial customers, contractors, businesses, etc. Others have told you about the safety concerns to do with the types of materials that could be stored, the strangers, the rodents, the drug and theft concerns, the fire hazards, the hours, and most of all, the danger to local residents, and especially school children, of so many trucks having to access this facility. It's reasonable to think that a special permit should not be granted unless there is a special need or a special reason to do so, like a considerable benefit to the neighborhood. But I have not heard anyone articulate any benefits to result from this proposal, only that other by-right options would be worse. Why would the city council award a special permit to a structure about which the best anyone could say is it could be worse? As you know, Mayor Warren has recently released his housing strategy report, and while I disagree with many of his consultants' assumptions and recommendations, one item stood out. You will recall when we were last gathered here, some expressed a wish that the Norcross property could be rezoned for the kind of small single-family houses that are now being lost in Newton. Some councilors replied that zoning changes are not usually the purview of the Land Use Committee, although I believe this committee is considering a zoning change request in the case of the Ore Block proposal. But the upside is that we were told that rezoning was impossible or highly unlikely. And that's why I found it interesting that the mayor's housing strategy report lists the NESCO site next door to the Norcross property as suitable for rezoning for housing, including small single-family houses. It's on page 85. This is page 85 of the housing strategy report. And I quote, site 2.1, 281 Newtonville Ave, present-day NESCO site. Potentially suitable for medium-density multifamily or medium-to-high-density single-family residential development. If the NESCO site is suitable for rezoning for single-family residential houses, surely the Norcross site is as well. The current proposal presents only negatives to the neighborhood. The special permit criteria have not been met. Please deny the special permit, and a better outcome for the property owner and the neighborhood can be the result. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other member of the public who wishes to be heard now as opposed to waiting a little bit later this evening? All right. Yes, sir, come on up.
Good Good evening.
Good evening. Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Sam Scarlett. I'm on Lexington Street, right next to a public storage building. Now, I want to relay some of the fears that these people have on this. Number one, the traffic is so minimal that you couldn't even count it. The building, I think, is 215,000 square feet or something to that extent. If it was an office building, it would require 120 parking spaces. To be nice, the developer gave 14. He only needed 7. I also looked at this property that they're talking about. By the way, I'm not employed by public storage. I'm not a member of their subsidiaries. I'm just a next-door neighbor. They planted 129 trees to buffer this building. They constantly are cutting the grass, mowing, taking care of everything. Now I've got to lay some of these fears. One, this building sits right on top of the Marina State Playground, which is a very active playground because of the skateboard park. We have never, to my knowledge, had a complaint with any child or anything pertaining to this building. The other thing is the building's security is unbelievable. Each unit has its own video cameras. Each unit has its own petition for someone breaks into the unit, the alarm will go off. I have never seen the police department respond here because nothing has ever happened. Now, I have a friend of mine that's a developer. We looked at this property that they want to build on in Newtonville Avenue. Because I heard the owner before me say this would be nice for single family homes. I don't know how many people would buy a single family home on top of the Mass Turnpike. The other thing that this building does for me is it buffers the playground noise. And I'm sure that this building on Newtonville Avenue would also buffer the noise from the Mass Turnpike. The reason a developer friend of mine did not want to build apartments there is he didn't